You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Like, I definitely did not watch, like, Avengers Civil War. What's up? And so now I'm looking, and somebody from Pennsylvania, I guess, is using my Netflix?
Andrew, I don't know how to tell you this without crying, but I'm using your Netflix.
Oh, sick. And now I wanna go and sign everyone out, except I know my mother uses it, which is fine. And I know friend Glenn uses it, which is fine, but they both have their own, like, profile. You know, like, they're not fucking around with me. And Gab is, like, not here right now, so she might be using it on the iPad, but she also knows how to use her profile. It's very strange.
You know, of all things to steal, I think...
I'm okay. I mean, it's... If they were watching better movies, I'd be less concerned. But I'd be like, oh, wow, I hadn't seen this. Wow. I should go by... And it says I've seen this, but I haven't. Maybe I'll go back and watch this.
Wow, you're watching Hidden Damage 4. That's actually not a real movie, but it would be great if it was.
Hidden Damage 4.
The Reckoning. Giving it good, letting her work. Giving it good, letting her work. Giving it good, letting her work. Giving it good, overnight drive.
Hey, I had a very weak clap there. It was like a really, like, I missed the, you know, sound, and I got, like, just a, wasn't good.
So if you were playing guitar, you would have fretted that.
I would have flubbed it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would have. That would have been that awful feeling when you're playing a show, and not only do you flub it, but the downward motion makes you drop the pick, and you just have to stand there for a nanosecond, feeling fully helpless, and then.
I never felt that. I would always muff. I would always make boners on stage, I guess you could say.
I would get so mad at myself when I would hit, like, a sour note. I would beat myself up in a degree that's ridiculous.
Popular theme, you getting super... How annoying was it when I... Like, you would be super into being like, well, I have to play this show perfectly. And then he'd look over and I was like, taking too long to tune...
I never minded that. In fact, you were never right next to me, so what difference? I could never hear you, you know? Yeah, like, I only knew you were there by my visual field. Like, I had no, you know, you could have been an illusion.
That's nice of you.
I don't know how Sean Goody felt. I don't know if we ever talked about this on the podcast, but we always used to...
Oh, no.
Our one constant conflict was who had to be next to Sean Duty.
Oh my God! Because you get blocked out,
box you in, and Sean Duty is like the ultimate boxer inner. It's unbelievable.
And the one tour we did where he finally owned up to it and went onto the side of the stage to play, much like
good.
Joe Lally defers to the two swashbucklers.
Joe Lally may as well sit in fucking Brendan Canty's lap. I love that shit. It's great.
At this point, he could do it from home. Yeah,
that's true.
This is the future. Like, I'm not going to make it, but I'll definitely play along to the Live Nation stream if you'd like. So it's like 8 seconds behind. You know, like,
no one notices. We're fine.
Yeah, it's totally work. It's like one of those things you don't really talk about, and you're just like, it'll totally work. Man, I'm just going to play along the Live Nation stream, and then you go in there like 10 minutes before the show starts and you realize you have to, like, sign up with a credit card, and Live Nation doesn't know you're in the band, and
you got to, like, go and open your email and approve that it was actually you and have that whole thing, and then sign in again,
and
but then you're
birthday.
Signed in on your phone, and you've got to go back and sign in on the computer. Yeah, it's awesome.
So you got to send a scan of your license. It's good. You'll be like, hey, I promise you. Internationally recognized musician Joe Lally. I just didn't feel like showing. And the show's in D.C., which is like the biggest, you know. He just really didn't feel like leaving the couch. He's like, there's this documentary about the band Possessed that I really want to watch.
So I'm gonna try and multitask this one out.
We're going to try something. After 45 years of playing music, we're going to try something new. As the last band to reunite for money, Fugazi. the watch is turned toward them.
I thought they got back together, didn't they?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, and they probably, because of the stubbornness of Ian MacKaye, they probably never will.
Yeah.
Although, you know, money talks. And I'm sure at some point records will stop selling, just in general. And streams,
I mean, that's
are,
already happening. That's like in full effect right now.
Like completely.
Every like small and mid-tier label, since they've got very little business acumen, they last year was a boom year for vinyl. So all of these smaller labels that have no like history to fall back on just overextended themselves, assuming that the trend would continue, and it like super hasn't. So
back
now
catalog stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So now all of these labels are hyper overextended to pressing plants that are trying hard to get this stuff out so they can take on new business, and it all doesn't matter because nobody's buying records anymore because everybody realizes now that records are not a thing you need. So here we are.
I definitely super not ever something you need. I as somebody who just came from listening to exciting records, interesting records, I will say in full confidence, records are not necessary, especially when you have to move.
That's the thing. It's just some shit you've got to throw in a box eventually, and then something you're going to force yourself to be sad over when it like breaks or warps or someone steals it or fucking, you know, just like it gets wet, like you leave the window open, your records get wet.
What
just
are some things that...
Don't do that, and you're fine.
What are some things that people force themselves to be sad over, do you think?
I mean, records, books, phones, clothes, people, like you name it, it's wild.
Satisfaction is the death of desire.
Yeah, that's exactly. A wise man once said.
As a wise man once said. I mean, I don't know. I'm in a down note. You gotta prop me up this time, pal.
What is going on?
Just a lot of things.
Did you
going
just light
on.
The house on fire? Is this a weird suicide podcast?
No, house is actually on fire, but it's it's okay because it's only the downstairs.
Oh, that's sick.
It's only
fall asleep
the apartment.
In bed smoking.
Yeah, it's like if you ever play the game Fallout for your iPhone, and there's like Fallout Vault where everybody lives in the vault. Great game, very addicting. But
is there a Fallout for the iPhone, really?
There is, but it's like, do you ever play like Office Manager? This is going real deep.
I've not played Office Manager, however, I live that game often. So yes.
Me too. As a one man operation.
That's what I
want to
do
into.
Is spend all day sitting around being like, oh fuck, we didn't order paper cups, and then getting home and being like, fuck, I didn't order paper cups. Like that's what I need. Why don't we just have a virtual game called Stressed Out Man, where you're a stressed out man, and then you turn on the game, and instead you play a different stressed out man. Like Angry Wife, the video game.
I'm actually writing that down, physically writing it down. Stressed Out Man, the game, and it has like a heartbeat.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. It'd be excellent.
And you're like, boom, 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 boom. Text from wife. Very vague. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. It's, you know, it's about like, you know, you said you'd go get toilet paper and you didn't, but it could be about anything. It's like, just, you know, we have a lot of things to talk about when you get home.
What if there was a downloadable content pack for Stressed Out Man?
Oh, yeah.
Where it would link up with your Apple Watch. And when you actually got stressed out in real life, it earned you money in the game that you could use to buy more stressful. That you could buy records in the game, and then they get wet.
Yes.
You're like, oh no, my records! I'm stressed out.
Found that. Oh my god, I found that Youth Defense League record that I've been looking for since I was a child, since I was a baby. And
the dog ate it because I wanted a dog.
I went and I. You know, we got talking, and then we went into the burrito spot, the white burrito spot, and I left it in the car. Oh, and I came back out, and I was like, oh, no, and then I
left it on the dashboard in the hot sun.
And you think, like, man, this record has been cared for, like, almost curatorially, like in a museum for years by somebody with an IKEA shelf. and then it was sold to you, and then you immediately treated it like garbage. It's something to write a hardcore song about, really.
Whole time the wife's like, I told you. I told you not to buy that.
You know, $80 is a lot of money, and it's, you know, we've got a little bundle of joy in the way. And, you know, I got a new band that you should collect. It's called Similac. The band is called Similac. The band is called Huggies. Okay, how about that? Let me introduce you to your two new favorite bands. Pedialyte
and having 4 hours of sleep perpetually.
Wet Ones, Wet Wipes. And you will buy the wrong wipes. Bubble, 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 bubble. It's like a chance of suicide, 28%. And then it's like zooms in on like, you know, some bridge. You know, and like it can get really, it's a game that it gets really dark as it goes along. It's like, it could be like choose your own adventure. It's like, do you, like you can choose, in the beginning you can choose a character who is like, you know, like moral. Does he have a little bit of like a backstory? Does he have priors? Does he have a weird history? You can choose what mental illnesses this person has. And based on that, when you can go through the whole thing, discovering this person, whether you're pregnant with this person. And then depending on what you chose way in the beginning that you totally forgot about, 2 months later, you're like, oh, suddenly this dude wants to fucking kill himself for no reason. And then you have to talk the character down, even though that's the character.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's the character you're playing as you. You know, like, finally you get, like, a text like, well, Target's closed. Like, when you had plans to go to Target, but then you're working late.
This is game devs, take note. This is our $1 million idea for the week.
What is it called? Stressed Out Man?
Stressed Out Man.
Fucking love Stressed Out Man.
It's like, well... The white person burrito spot that you just said. I said that to a group of people yesterday, and I got a side eye.
Yo, I'm really glad you said that. Yesterday, I called Viv's bar in Troy a black bar. I was like, it's a black bar. And everyone's looked at me like I was the Ayatollah Khomeini. See, when I was at.
That's really good because it's like that is it's so like enjoyably throwback. You know, it's like it's so innocent and it's like, oh, it's a black bar. But yeah, okay. Also at the same time, it presupposes that for you to get offended, it presupposes that you can't comprehend that there would be such a thing as a black bar or like a place that is more comfortable for black residents to go. You know, it's such it. To get wound up about that digs you in such a weird hole so fast. I don't understand.
It was, I can tell, I could feel like the weird, like, whoa. I was like, oh, you know, that's what you call it, you know? And it's like, I immediately thought, yeah, well, there's guys in throwback jerseys and like they have a speaker outside that blasts whatever they're playing. They're blasting Tupac, you know, bar full of black dudes.
This actually sounds like your spot.
It's so my spot. We go there occasionally, and it's like so my spot, right? But two doors down, I could very easily call the fucking BYO food bar with that has nothing but craft beer and like storytelling about craft beer.
Ooh,
I could call it the white bar.
Yeah, I'd understand. As a person without a fucking horse in the race, I'd understand what you were saying. You know, yeah. Like your conversational shortcut achieved. I got it. Understood.
Thank you, V Woke. My name is V Woke. There is actually a taco spot in Portland that was accused of cultural appropriation.
I saw that.
The women went to Mexico and bragged about stealing recipes while also belittling the poor women that they stole them from. So they're guilty of bad form big time. I'm not sure that it's cultural appropriation, but someone could probably convince me of that.
Well, this is the thing that from the description could be like the hallmark of cultural appropriation, sure. Like legitimately went and stole a thing, like stole IP basically. Yeah. Except I think you would have a very difficult time culturally claiming tortillas or flatbreads as
or cilantro
IP, And also, there's, you have to find me the legal statute that describes what a cultural intellectual property is, and let me know when you find it, because it's not there. Like, it, you give me a shout when you come across it. Like, culture serves the person living in it, and if that's it, like, just stop. Just stop. So then your understanding of the world, that means that Mexican culture is time immemorial. That people were born in the African savannah, or evolved in the African savannah, moved throughout Europe, moved in the cradle of civilization, moved throughout Asia, Southeast Asia, got to Australia, crossed the Bering Strait, made their way across the Americas, down, further down, got past the Rio Grande, and said, well, fuck it, we're Mexicans now. That is, like, yeah. If you pull the thread, that is the only logical argument for this, which is, I think everyone could agree that's a bizarre way to go through life. Ay, God. There's also, there's a bunch of kids in Evergreen who are sitting in because there was a professor who wrote, you got to read the letter too, the letter that they're wound up about. It's a professor who, apparently Evergreen State College has a day where they're trying to make it so white people can't come to campus, or like willingly don't show up to give people of color like a space, or something to that effect. And this dude wrote back and was like, okay, I guess I misunderstood the point of this. I'm gonna be at work that day because we're a college and we're supposed to do college stuff, and you know, these kids' parents pay for us to do the college stuff. Yeah, I'll be at work that day, you know. It was just like, okay, that's it. And it ballooned into this really extreme thing. There's a great video of him having it. I love it. He's standing in a hallway looking like he just got back from the beach. And he's surrounded on all sides by like an honest to God mob of students. And he's like, okay, there's a difference between debate and dialectics. You know, like I don't have interest in one, and I have a lot of interest in the other. And as he's saying this, you legitimately hear people in the audience going, we don't care.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's, fuck.
That's it. No,
it's really, really good.
I mean, don't get us wrong. I understand that cultural appropriation, total power dynamic, which, you know, members of dominant culture take elements of a culture of people, of oppressed, systematically oppressed people, and try to profit or whatever. Like when Gwen Stefani wore a bindi. And everybody got nuts about that. I remember that. That was the first time I had ever heard the term. And that was right in the time of the Safe to Bet, which was unrelated, but people all of a sudden were saying, well, you know, there are all these. But I don't see where a taco or a bindi or anything. Like if I'm a chef and I put a burrito on my menu, I mean, just tell me how that. I mean, okay, so who do I ask permission for that? Like, who? Like, it's appropriation. Appropriation implies I didn't ask permission.
Yeah, Like, what's so the tribunal I've got to reach out to?
Yeah, so is there a burrito czar in Mexico that I might have to meet with? Go to D.C. and go to the embassy and be like,
yeah, like, well, what's the paperwork situation? Is this like a lot or a little?
Yeah, like, here's the set. I'm going to open a burrito spot. I know you probably get 10 of these emails a day. Just let me know. Is that cool? Like, so in a way, it's like people love. It's very much like woke call out culture finding yet another thing to Google and be mad about.
Well, this is the interesting thing petty. I find about this kind of thing is that, all right, so if you are wound up that these women opened a taco spot or opened a burrito spot. Okay, that's fine. Like, I'm happy to explain why you're wrong. Like, I'm happy to, like, logic through why you're, like, you're acting foolish. But I'm not a person to say, well, you're wrong. Like, whatever. Like, you can feel whatever you want. I can give a fuck how you feel. It's great. If you feel upset that these women opened a taco spot, you feel upset. That's all right. But my question then is, so that so then to you, culture is sacrosanct. it's a monolith that exists and people exist within it, and then transfer between different cultures is not an option in that way.
Sure.
Or even we'll say maybe, like, maybe it is like a maybe to a certain degree. Everyone all of a sudden everyone has certain degrees when it's when it gets closer to them. But my question then is, if that's something you're upset about, are you 100% living up to or living within the boundaries of your culture? So I'm Irish and German. Mm. If I am angry about that, but I'm not doing explicitly Irish and German things, then what's up? Like, that's the rub about call out culture and all this shit, is that, like, if you're mad at fucking technology but you don't live in a hut, what's up? Like, if you're mad at, like, if you're basically, I can follow this down threads that are dark, and, like, I fucking have, like, lawyers calling, calling me. Like, it's not too hard to do. But
this isn't, I mean, we're asking legitimate questions. This isn't, like, devil's advocate, like, just saying. Like, I would
talk about devil's advocate.
Like, I mean, but that's, I mean, the problem is when you ask, then what? People get fucking stymied. That's when people stand up and yell, we don't care.
Well, then all of a sudden it's a protest.
There's people who, like, think that Sister Rosetta Sharp, right? Or Sister Rosetta Tharpe, whatever her name mm-hmm. was, invented rock and roll. Sister Rosetta Tharpe invented rock and roll and never got credit. But, I mean, you know, like, I don't know.
Maybe she did. I don't know. Like, she's sick. So you know, it's a video. She's sick as hell.
But that's wild. I mean, okay, fine. Okay, so, but you can't. I mean, the Rolling Stones played blues cover. I mean, that is so deep and so fucking weird, and it's an outrage machine. I think, in terms of the baseline, like, if two women want to open a fucking taco spot, cool. Okay, great. And it's probably not good. Like, if you know anything about food, you don't go to the fucking taco spot that two fucking bloggers opened. You go to the spot. You go to the fucking Mexican spot where there's Mexican people working. And you know the spot. Like, if you're in
and
your
I
town,
assume because you do that, then because these are your ideals, that you're also paying them a living wage, right?
Sure.
Like, the Mexican spot, you're clearly doing 100% of your part to make sure that the people working there are making the same living wage that the white burrito spot is.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
If not, what's up? if hypothetically, if you're in a band that preaches communism and you do non-communist shit, what's up? And this is the thing. And this is, all right, I want to make sure this is something I had read earlier that put me in this frame of mind. So as much as I would love to claim the simplicity of this idea as my own, it was one of my favorite authors dropped a piece on this earlier today that it was just beautiful in how concise it was. When your personal life and your ideals are at odds, it doesn't cancel out your personal life. Like, your personal life isn't what gets canceled out. It's your ideals that get canceled out. That's just it. Like, it's when they can't coexist, the personal life won't vanish. That'll always be there. It's the ideals that vanish, which is why it's ugly to see people do shit like this. It's nasty. When you said devil's advocate before, I struck a chord, because people speak about devil's advocate as though it's like a thing that people do to get around conversation. Yo, everyone listening, put your earphones tighter on your head. Devil's advocate is possibly the most important fucking mental exercise you can give to yourself. It is the ultimate gift you can give to yourself and others.
The dark side.
Yeah, if you're... And I honestly think it's because it uses the word devil that people have a weird association with it. Yo, if you can't understand how somebody else would feel differently than you, I can understand exactly why these people feel differently than me. It's just, it logically doesn't stand up. That's what I'm here for. Yo, here's the logic. Here you go. If you're not living in the cabin in the woods, but you're criticizing somebody's use of technology, what's up? What's up? There's no binary. If you're not committed to the cause that you're giving somebody else shit for, who the fuck would ever listen to you? If you go to Evergreen State College and you feel as though it's like a hostile place for racial minorities, or you're like it's imbalanced, the thing you do is you go to the registrar and you say, I would like to resign and give my place to a student of color who wasn't able to get into this college. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's not a grayscale. If that's your ideals, that's what you do. And if you don't do that, that's not your ideals. And if you're talking to somebody else about those ideals as if they're your own, they are your own, then you're making it up. And that's that. That's it. We're not dealing in fractions here. These are whole numbers. That's that.
I mean, exactly. I encourage people to be thoughtful about using things from other cultures. Consider the context, maybe. If you really want to go deep, you can learn about the culture. I mean, the oppressive histories of tacos, if you fucking want to. It's like, you know, but honestly, I mean, we've got fucking 80 years on this rock. I mean, you got to fucking pick your battles, man. I'm going to learn the fucking oppressive histories behind yoga, or, you know, fucking driving a car with rubber tires, and how fucking the tire, fucking Goodyear went to fucking Brazil in the 40s and leveled, you know, umpteen junk. Okay. But, you know, like there's being aware, and then there's being like, oh, I actually have to be nude and can't do anything or even breathe.
Yep.
And you know what? I just want a taco and to do some downward facing dog. And I don't want to think about the oppressive, because I mean, excuse me. I don't think that, if I open a yoga studio, that's necessarily like ruining anybody's life or a bad taco spot. That'll close.
Well, that's the thing.
Months.
We can understand that yoga enriches people's lives. That's why people do it. It's the understanding.
So do tacos.
Tacos. Perfect. So then,
or rock and roll,
you're clearly providing an agreed upon net positive. So then the counter argument is that these net positives should only be available to people who were lucky enough to be born into a situation that they were okay to use. Like, we agree that tacos and peanut butter and jelly are roughly equal net positives. So then, growing up in America as a white male, am I only able to have peanut butter and jelly?
No.
I'd love an answer from... I wish this was a live call-in show. We're certainly going to get some hate on this.
Yeah, we might.
I loved... About a week and a half ago, the New York Times did an article where they took people across, you know, a bunch of different racial lines. And they asked them, okay, well, what do you identify racially with? You know, like, what culturally? What do you identify? And people told them, and they took the DNA test, and then they came back with the racial DNA results. And they were wild, you know? Like, people who were like, oh, yeah, I've identified as Asian all my life, find out that they're, like, Cherokee. it's really wild. It's very, very fucking cool. It makes you... Like, I think so much about the way that human beings came to take over the planet and spread and such, and like how all these systems intermingle. It's really fascinating. If you've ever tried to like pour milk into tea and watch these insanely elaborate patterns start to form as the two liquids start to mix, I picture that like culturally and like across the earth. It's really fascinating. And so they got to one guy who was like, well, my mother is white and my father's black, and my, you know, but my mother raised me black. She said, you know, no police officer is going to see your white mother. Okay. Sick. So, comes back with his DNA results and he's like 91% European, like overwhelmingly white. And there's like a photo of him, you know, he's black. He has light skin, but he is certainly black by any societal standard. And then they have his response, and it's really like hostile. It's like, you've caused my family a lot of pain. You know, this is, I won't live in, you know, my first instinct is to say like white capitalist society, but I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember exactly what he said, but something along those lines. And then it's like, I will never identify as anything other than black. And I'm like, okay, that's, say, like, I don't think anyone would ever hold a gun on this guy's head and say no. You know, that's perfect. That's totally chill. That's everyone's fucking right to do that. But it also inadvertently proves the argument of Rachel Dolezal. By virtue of getting angry about it, this dude went ahead and, from a perspective of logic, from somebody who has access, I think we can argue that Rachel Dolezal might not have access to every part of her brain. You know, like, right. I don't think there's anything wrong with her necessarily, but I wouldn't be shocked if there was. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody came back with, like, her CAT scan and was like, well, that's interesting, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be like, okay.
Right.
But this dude who apparently has access to all his mental facilities, just by virtue of having an emotional moment, went ahead and proved this woman's idea that race exists outside of genetics, that you can identify as a race and not necessarily be that race, which is, again, fine. I don't give a shit. You know, it's like, what difference does that make to a busy person? But people seem to give a shit about that a lot. People got real wound up. I have not seen anybody come back on that article and make that point in any grandiose way, because most of the world just hopes that Rachel Dolezal just sort of goes away. But we're just a few months away from peer-reviewed papers on this shit that is going to that's going to break it open wild. And it's, we have no problem calling gender a social construct. Well, the most woke among us will scream it, and I think the majority of rational people understand that to be true to at least some degree. Like, anyone who's arguing there's no genetic difference between men and women is obviously a fucking loon. But the idea that gender can be more social than biological, or at least 50-50, sure. I'm quite certain of this. But then it's bizarre to take that same claim with, or to take the precise opposite of claim with race. Be like, well, gender is a social construct for sure. However, race is deep in your DNA. It's 100% fucking nature, 0% yes. Nurture, and by that virtue, so be culture.
Well, it's people, I mean,
it's weird.
Somewhere along the line in the 1990s, for sure, people began to misunderstand the relationship between people and, like, labels.
Yeah, oh my God,
and,
yeah.
And aggregates and concretes, you know? And it's there, and it became an argument that became an something, for, I mean, that people have hung their hat on for years and years and years. And I think it's kind of counterproductive.
Oh, for sure. I'm
because everything is so fucking like everything is so fucking concrete, and it's like it's very I consider myself a progressive individual, and I don't know why. I mean, when stuff comes out, man, it's like something out of a fucking Steve Martin movie. It's like, oh, they hate these cans. It's like, they hate these tacos. It's like, oh, fucking, I mean, you know, there's such a fucking, like, thin, but it's there. It's a very thin patina of, like, sense of humor. And, like, agreeing to disagree and fun. and not having to fucking not being. See, I think as I'm getting older, and tell me if you feel this too. I think I'm getting less emotional.
Oh, and I think oh my God, yes.
And I think that's okay. And the fights, the fucking shit I used to time my post to when I was like 27, with some of what you witnessed. Like,
I caught that show.
I couldn't fucking care. I mean, I find myself getting quieter and getting like less emotional. And I really just want to laugh a lot and have, and enjoy what's happening. And I think that the whole taco thing, when I read that, I thought it was funny. And it's like the perfect storm of like, and fodder for everybody to either laugh or get really crazy about it. And there's two options. You can laugh or you can go crazy. Especially in life. I think there's always just the two options. You can you can enjoy it. Or you can fucking go crazy eventually.
If this is Road Blasters, that's one side is the left of the road and the other side is the right, and you just gotta fucking hang in the middle.
And it goes beyond. The problem is everybody's. It's just like how music got. I mean, there's literally a genre of music right now called Philly Basement.
God.
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
And like it's just like everything else. If you attach your thing to everything. Everything becomes like very unfun. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if this makes sense, but it's like if you attach such a fucking treatment, if everything in your life is fucking moral forensic files, like half an hour an episode, where, well, today we delve into the fact that you fucking looked at me the wrong way, and we're gonna spend a half an hour on it. Like, it becomes a deep, you can become addicted to outrage.
Oh, for outraged. Sure, yeah.
And, so when you catch yourself having fun and shooting the shit, you feel guilty. You feel guilt. And when you're having a frank discussion about, hey, you know, there's a great black bar downtown Troy called Viv's, and then suddenly you feel that twinge of, when you hear somebody say that and you feel that twinge inside of you, where does that come from? Because it's in light conversation with friends who, there's no fucking swastika armband on me.
I also wonder if you went down to Viv's and you sat down at the bar making conversation and you're like, oh, so this is like the black bar, huh? I don't think you get a warm welcome, but no one would protest your house there, you know?
But
like, I could feel very confident in people being like, yeah, weirdo, I guess.
But I think that if you were, if you were a, like, for instance, right, I went there. Last time we went there, they were playing the best, like, all my shit. Cameo, fucking Midnight Star, my music. This is my music.
But
I'm not saying that I'm fucking Christopher Columbus and I fucking raped your mother and killed your father and now this land is mine because of the white man's burden. I'm saying this is my music because I love it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Nope. This You're about is to get run out of town. You just opened a fucking, you just opened a taco spot.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, okay, and I can also have fun with people who are there. Like an old guy just doing kind of a two-step with some shiny, like cheap shiny shoes on and like brown pants, looking like he's going to go down to church, looks like Fred Sanford. I'm not embracing that stereotype. I'm saying, hey, this is a jovial time, and I'm having a grand old time. And because I'm there, and I'm saying all of these things, people will be like, well. You know, but think of the oppression. Why can't he afford better shoes? Maybe he likes those shoes. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not asking. I'm not gonna fucking set up a fucking table with a weird tablecloth on it and ask everybody to fill out a survey. I'm not from the ACLU. I like watching somebody get down. And I think that. And it's people and definitely social justice people. Call it an outdated, like, melting pot argument. But I love to celebrate. And I love to celebrate everything. But when I walk into... But the larger thing is that, although I recognize VIVS as... It's a black spot, right? I don't go in there being like, it's a black spot. I go in there being like, this is VIVS. It's going to be a fucking good time. I don't go into a fucking taco spot being like, this is a fucking Mexican spot. And I have to think about how Mexicans are. It's just a place where I'm going to go eat. And if that makes me less woke, it's fine.
If I were to do DNA test on you, what percentage of black would you have to come back at that you think you'd be chill to call VIVS a black bar?
In everybody's eyes, probably over 50%. 51%.
I don't know, man. There's somebody just fucking smoldering right now, trying to fucking... somebody's writing the most eloquent email response that will straight up never be read, so don't worry about it. You can let it go. Don't sweat it. I don't check the email. Wow, we just got real, real heavy there. I don't know what to do for you, man. The harder you signal... you feel that you're right, the more I'm fully sure that you are very far off the mark. And the more I'm sure that you know you're very far off the mark. That's sort of the thing. When somebody gets real virtue signally, part of me believes this person fucking lives this. And the more you do it, the less I believe that you believe it. The harder somebody virtue signals, the more convinced I am that they sit at a red light and scream racial shit at people crossing the street with the windows up.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm fully convinced.
Oh, yeah. No, someone breaks into your apartment and they take all your money and jewels and whatever.
Yeah.
That's the true test. I would utter any racial epithets.
I guess bottom line is, if you're pissed about the taco spot, then you should be only eating the food of your ancestors. And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's that. And that's, I understand that it's not a precise one-to-one thing. Yes. There's a different argument there, but it boils down to the same thing.
Yeah, if
either
you're angry about that,
culture is sacrosanct, or it's exchangeable. There's only two options, so you have to pick a side. And if you say you pick a side, you have to live that side.
Got it. That's why picking sides is such a slippery slope. Yeah. That's so sales of Wonder Bread are going to go through the fucking roof.
Exactly. Yeah, precisely.
If they follow our
advice. We can't keep this fucking Kraft macaroni and cheese on the goddamn shelves. What's happening?
We could definitely just encapsulate that and erase like the last 40 minutes. What we talked about, because I love when we just come to the point, for sure.
You just got to work your way there. Another thing, we were about to work our way out of this, but one thing that I always thought about when we would have these fucking like flare ups of cultural appropriation accusations, not so much anymore because it's fallen out of style. But there were points where, for a very long time, you would hear people leveling cultural appropriation arguments against other people who were full-on appropriating, like, Appalachian culture. Like, straight up. This is my folk band, and we're playing in a Philly basement.
We can talk about wearing construction gloves and boots when you live in the suburbs at hardcore shows, and you're appropriating a culture that... a blue-collar culture that works hard.
Yeah, is a culture just race? Can it be, like blue-collar? Is that a fucking, poverty? Are we putting poverty culture?
The definition is it's stealing from an underprivileged, a privileged group, appropriating, stealing from an underprivileged group. So, yes, definitely. If you work at a GameStop in the suburbs and you wear construction boots and fucking gloves and you go to a hardcore show and you fucking wild out and buy a $40 fucking long sleeve, you know, you might be appropriating a certain culture that might not be able to afford the same things you can. So think about that.
I've been listening to a lot of ignorant ass hardcore lately. You just put me in a mood right there.
Oh man.
I've been on like a real ignorant trip for the past couple of days. It's been great. Ignorant. That was actually one of those things I thought about. I was thinking about it yesterday. I was listening to I was driving home listening to Trapped Under Ice.
Oh my God.
I was
God.
Thinking about how like they played it in Valentine's once at like, you know, one of those 20 band fucking thug only fucking like sponsored by a gang style like festivals. Yeah.
Guys with no shirt on and no shirt like to be seen anywhere near them. They just showed up with no shirt on.
That's exactly.
Like the shirt is in the car, like on the driver's seat, like so it protects the driver, like because it's a fucking, obviously you're driving a brand new Rolls Royce, so you have to protect the front seat. So you put the t-shirt you were wearing against, so your sweaty back doesn't ruin the 98 Nissan Duracell you've been driving.
Yeah. No, like I was thinking about when they played and I was really like just fucking so mad at this fucking scene. I used to hate doing these fucking heavy shows. They were always such a pain in the ass and all this shit and fucking hate this. It's so stupid. Everyone here's so fucking dumb and fucking band is terrible. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm listening to it in the car. I'm like, this shit's real good.
It's
this shit's like real good.
It's
and it occurred to me that I had to, in my life, in my 20s, that was, I didn't have many options. And that was representative to me. Like, all of like heavy music was representative of people who had no options and opted to not do the thing. Like, that was just the team that opted to not do it.
Yeah.
That was just it. And it took me, I had to reflect on how long it took in my life for me to go back and say, nah, this is real good. Like, this is this is super good. Oh, yes. You know what actually did it? I full fucking, like, shout-outs or whatever to when we played with that band Jesus Piece. Mm-hmm. Obscene, like, sickly heavy. Like, fucking, like, bowel-ripping heavy. Also, really throwback awesome, too, because I'm fairly certain the drummer is, like, really into Krishna and has, like, the brain leash. Like, it was awesome. It was like the 1990s just fucking killed it on stage.
Great.
Really, really good. But that was a point where I was, like, I'm, like, running every morning and was, like, just throwing my earbuds on. And I remember I put the EP on and I'm like, this is sick. This is really fucking good. And it really, like, awakened me enjoying fucking stupidly heavy music again. It was really nice.
I'm glad you've had this this woke realization of the...
Now, if I moved back to Albany and had to, like, see these fucking goons, I might not feel that way, but it was nice.
It's always goons lurking. It's great.
Always goons,
but the
man,
goons
shit.
Here are tragic. Tragic.
Oh, my God,
goons.
Holy shit.
No, it's a mixture of aggressive music meets the inability to get laid.
I think that's the thing. I think that's what I couldn't parse out. I couldn't parse out the fact that the music is, like, sick, and the people in Albany specifically are so upsetting.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, it's impossible. It's like the fucking paramedics, like, snakes logo. They're just intertwined on each other. It's impossible to get them apart. Oh, man. Woo.
My favorite.
Went a lot of weird places.
To totally shift gears for a moment, we lost somebody. Very close to us. Chris Cornell died.
Oh, that is true. Chris
and,
Cornell.
Spin Magazine. You want to guess what their headline was?
Oh, fuck.
Soundgarden tour canceled after Chris Cornell's death. Like, there was a possibility, but it's like, it's funny because it's like that, there would be that moment where you're like, can we still do that? I mean, I'm sure Kim Thayil, I mean, I'm sure Matt Cameron's fine because he plays for Pearl Jam, but I'm sure Kim Thayil's like, can we still like do the? Can we do like hologram Chris Cornell? Can we? I mean, it was only like the third date of the tour, or whatever. And but the funny thing is that his wife, who is remarkably normal, and has, I'd like to speak to a manager here.
No, excellent.
Which is, I mean, that was very an odd choice considering this is a man who. But it's funny because this is a man who probably in the 90s probably fucking fucked every Liv Tyler lookalike known to man.
Likely.
And also there's an anecdote I read from Michael Azerrad article where when they toured with Nirvana, Kim Thayil was caught shitting into a plastic cup backstage. And I've always held that against them.
Yeah, why would he do that?
Because he's being trying to be rock and roll, man.
Wow. I always get him. There's Kim Thayil, and there's the, like, fucking other heavyset hairy fucking dude from Faith No More that always wore the dollar store sunglasses. I always get those two confused.
Jim...
Don't tell me his name. I don't give a fuck.
Jim Martin.
Hate him. Hope he's dead.
Not dead, but a pumpkin farmer.
Like Faith No More, awful. Awful. If you pretend you like Faith No More, you're telling yourself a weird story.
That was a cute... That's a perfect example of people who got cute after they got money.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Martin became a pumpkin farmer after making his... I'm sure each of them made clear with that. If they had a good deal, I'm sure each of them made clear probably $1 million off between touring... Merchandise sales,
right.
It's the smart money is to put that away and live off the nut, even if it's like $19,000 a year, whatever. Yeah, but he invested in a pumpkin farm because he's like, these royalties are gonna come in forever. And I'm like, so maybe we wrote one of the greatest songs of all time, epic, in their mind. Although I really don't think it's a good song, and. So, while everyone else, the other dudes were kind of like, well, I'm going to play for Ozzy. And the other dude was like, I'm going to do my weird voice records. Mike Patton.
Oh, so bad.
And even, and the success story of them all, Roddy Bottom, who, I don't know why I know all of this, but I do.
What the fuck is happening?
Roddy
Bottom. I was assuming you were reading a fucking Wikipedia.
No, Roddy Bottom became a music supervisor for films. Worked for like a bunch of different places, and he's scoring music and everything and using his pedigree for something.
Fucking Rowdy Roddy.
Rowdy Roddy Piper took over. we need somebody here who is really well versed in.
Almost made it through an entire episode without a wrestling fucking reference.
Every time. We're going to make one. There's somebody who keeps... Listen.
I hear it.
Yeah, somebody keeps shooting a gun, like, right in my neighborhood.
Oh, that's really sick.
Actual gunshots.
Jesus. I mean, we're talking about the city that... one of the first pioneer cities to put gunshot microphones around town.
And, like, every time... But the best part was, it was such a drain of resources, because every time a car backfired... within 5 miles of that fucking thing, a SWAT team was called out. Mobile response team was called out.
Yo, what the fuck is going on? Right? Did you lock your door?
My neighborhood is alive. My neighborhood got... It's weird because when I first moved in, it was
This might actually be the podcast you die on.
Working on it. I actually asked somebody to shoot at my house.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, if you could just do one thing for me, I don't want to kill myself necessarily, and I don't want to do suicide by cop. I don't want to feel any pain, but I want it to look accidental. If you could just stand in front of my house and unload a few clips, that'd be like the coolest thing ever.
That'd be great. Just give me the Huey Newton. Three of you guys just fucking surround my house and just fucking unload.
Yeah, can you just give me the Huey Newton? Give me the Huey Lewis. Could you do that for me, please? Yeah, could you play, I watched, I watched the Making of Live Aid documentary. 4 hours long. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the major acts to pull out at the last minute... they actually started to come, and then they pulled out, which was very harrowing for the couple.
Rude.
Like, I think I got some in there. Well, we should check that out. Just fall asleep instead or whatever. It was Huey Lewis in the news triumphantly pulled out. They said this is a scam.
Wow.
And they turned out to look like real jerks.
I was gonna say fucking.
They were fucking...
Wait, no, that's not the one. There's the one fucking festival from the 80s with, like, the ultimate missing person set video. It's just, like, it's super good.
The Us
but I don't
Festival.
Think that's it. The Us Festival, that's right. Yeah. Yep. Damn it.
Oh, yeah. So what I've been trying to do for the past week is to get some really good prank phone calls together.
Perfect.
About Soundgarden.
Great.
Yeah. And I've got the number of a place... and it would, we were to record the other day, and it would have worked perfectly because this was my premise. This is the night of the Soundgarden performance. Obviously, Chris Cornell's dead, and I call and I say, "Hey, you got any tickets left? Me and my girlfriend are really like really raring to go, and we're about to make a long drive." And then it's up to the holy shit, it's up to the fucking. Ticket person, the poor son of a bitch working on the other line, to inform me that Chris Cornell has died.
That is really good. You could do it with Greg Allman.
Oh my god, yeah, if he was touring, perfect.
Yeah.
Hey,
Greg Allman used to hang out at the fucking food co-op in Albany. Yo, what the fuck?
That's fireworks.
Oh, that's fireworks. All
now it's fireworks. Before it was definitely a gun. And now it's fireworks, because I am actually broadcasting live from... Mexico.
Perfect.
This taco
really
thing
good.
Has affected me so much that I
just went down to Austin and just fucking hopped the border. That's
yeah,
sick. I saw a fucking young buck shooting a gun on Instagram. Did you get in on that too?
I sure did. I loaded 17 and I had a good grouping. I blew the guy's chin off.
Nice. What'd you guys shoot?
We shot just a Glock 9mm. The dude who worked there, this is a great story. We were there with our friend Rachel Gonzalez, who's a friend of the podcast and our good friend of mine for a long time. And she said, well, you know, we're in Texas. We should just, they have ranges where you can shoot any type of gun you want.
So
machine
sick.
Gun. There were people there with, but this was like, it's like the scene in RoboCop where like everybody's shooting their like little 38s and then somebody's like, and everyone's like looking down. Like there's one dude with like a modified AK that was I mean, this is. Very, all men, and then me and two very, very small women.
Perfect.
And they're all like, do I love my gun? Like, am I more turned on by my gun or this woman at this point? You know, two young, attractive looking women have no business in a gun store. And then there's me wearing my Napalm Death shirt that somebody actually said, hey, cool shirt, dude. I saw
Perfect.
Them like, I saw them way back in the day, and I was like, yeah, me too, man. It's really good. Like the best conversation, like the baseline conversation you like gun, like the guitar store conversation you have, but I had it in a gun store, which is really cool.
I love the people I meet at my shooting range. Like they're so, they're very simple folks.
But this guy,
it, I really like him a lot.
But there was two stories. One was we got, cause it was like kind of expensive. It wasn't like prohibitively expensive, but like for fun, like it's like, you know, I'm used to like, oh, I'm going to go to mini golf and pay $5. This was like $80.
Yeah,
like,
that's about right.
I'm like, we get two boxes of ammo and we get a gun and it's fine, but we don't really get a choice of what gun we want. So he's like, oh, you know what, you guys haven't really ever shot before because we lied, so we're gonna give you, but we told them that we had never ever really shot before and the training was like there was no training, so
yeah.
You're just sending us in there with a gun and a little caddy, like I'm going to take a shower and I'm in college and I have like my caddy with soap and face stuff and like maybe slippers or whatever, but instead there's a gun in there and with fucking
like any good college bathroom caddy.
Exactly. Yeah, any good college as a college bathroom caddy does. And so you're sending me in with 120 rounds of ammunition and a 9mm handgun, and then it's just like, all right guys, have a good time. And so we're like, all right, so we load it and
sick.
It's fucking really hard to load the clip. After like 10 rounds, you're like,
yeah, the fucking, the Glocks are, you need a speed loader for those things. They're like, they're a pain in the ass.
I hated it. And we started shooting, and one of my friends, the friend who was with us, wrote haters on her target across the chest of her target.
Very good.
And blew away her haters. And everybody got a big kick out of that. At least some people did. And then the best part was the guy who gave us our gun came to check on us and started kicking serious game to the woman, our friend, who was
nice.
And he's like, you know, I spent a lot of time in California And then once I got here, this was like my paradise. And, this is the only state where you can have a place like this. And I'll always work here. And like telling us his whole story. And it was like, but he's like, you should really come back. Like, you should really come back. And I realized how cute, like, people, we're so used to disaffected, like, fucking disenfranchised. It's like people who fucking had PCB water in their brains and now they're so fucked up. The only way to hit on a woman, like, literally the only way, the only game they have is sending a picture of their penis to a woman and crossing their fingers. So, for this guy, it was like, it's like he watched, like, too many episodes of Wings. And he was like, so, you should come back sometime and maybe we can talk more. I'm just going to plant the seed right there and water it and hope it grows. And it was so wholesome that although I fucking, this guy was a definite gun nut loon and like probably broken a beer bottle over a woman's back at some point in his life. But he, you know, threw like a beer bottle at a woman's car speeding away, like after he didn't get laid or some shit, like in a terrible fucking Texas fucking housing complex. Like, don't ever fucking come back. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? And they like left his phone in the fucking car. It's like, it's a whole fucking thing. So, you know, that kind of shit. And then he's like, he gets into his house and he's like, oh, I can't sleep. Neighbor's pissed. She's fucking driving and crying. You know, she acts like she leaves, but she just went to the fucking like store and got a Red Bull.
Trust, leave the area.
She didn't leave the area. She left the gated community. It's funny that all the apartment complexes down there, for the most part, are gated, which I find really weird. And so she went to the. She probably just went to the like the quick check or the come and go or whatever and got like a Red Bull and like a fresh pack of cigs. Even though she had cigarettes, it makes her feel good to buy a fresh pack of cigarettes. And, you know, opened it up. It's like waiting for him to call. And then she finally is like, fuck it, I'm going to call him. And she goes and calls him. And then his phone rings in the car. And she's like, oh, fuck. He probably thinks I'm totally ignoring him or thinks I stole his phone. So she drives back for phones. The phone saved him. Because then he's able to put his sweetheart act on. And he's like, I'm sorry that I threw those full bottles of beer at your car.
Kind of.
I mean, I was armed.
It was kind of your fault.
Well, I mean, considering he had a .45 caliber concealed carry under his shirt and he chose to throw bottles instead, let's just call it a win.
Yeah, we'll call the whole thing a push.
Like, I could have fucking shot, I could have been like fucking Roger Moore and shot your gas tank, but I didn't. You know, I decided to let you live so that we can love. Again, how did we get here?
I don't even know what's happening. It's just like, man.
Austin was a real time, and it's a beautiful place. I suggest it's definitely a weekend spot. If you spend any more than like a weekend there, it's kind of, you get it. It's like live music everywhere, and it's like
crazy. All the time.
But the food is great. The thrifting is good. Everybody seems to be pretty cool, although there were, and the nightclubs are fucking crazy and they have like multi-levels and like weird artists, because it's like such a music city. Like we were there and Migos just started playing a set. That was really weird.
That is weird. Wow. Yeah.
But it was just like, oh, I'm gonna take my mask off, I'm gonna take my mask off, and it was like they said it for like a long time, you know, like mumble rap.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, people seem to be having a good time with this. The one we went to see, a live performance of people playing wood instruments, but it was like live on a Saturday night in a crowded bar. People love music that much that they'll
prestige.
Yeah, they'll go see anything. And there was a guy who kept blowing vape clouds at the back of my head. And I said, because I was drinking a bunch of Lone Star beer. And I turned around as this dude, like, I was like, who the fuck is this? Who the fuck is this? And then I went to turn around and he blew it right in my face.
Ooh.
But then he was like, oh my God. He didn't realize he was blowing it at the back of my head. And then when he blew it in my face as I was ready to fucking take him apart, he was the most apologetic, nice Texan, like, bro in sandals on the planet. And was like, whoa, Gary. He's like, I didn't even realize. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, dude. I'm like, oh, and I'm like, I didn't want to, you know, put a din over the evening, nor did I want to have Young Box bail me out of a fucking Austin jail.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. I don't think it's quite as easy as getting bailed out up here.
Yeah, no. Oh, it's from, you're from New York, huh? Well, and I have like loose fucking pills in my pocket and shit, Xanax and shit. Mm-hmm. So it's not a good scene. So that was like a moment. And that was kind of encapsulate of a lot of the populace, especially the young populace of Austin, where
people don't like music. They listen to it and they go see it and they have a bunch of records and it's always omnipresent in their lives, but they don't like the sound of being alone with themselves. It's not the same thing as liking music.
Exactly. And I've actually, you know what? I've found that since I can't, like, the sound of being alone with myself is only happens when I'm depressed now.
Interesting.
I'm surround myself with sounds. This is like the worst thing, but I was like, you know what? I should start listening to other podcasts. And I settled on the Marc Maron podcast.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, man, I get it. I get it, man.
That's all it is. That's all it is. But he interviews interesting people and like that he doesn't know anything about. So he'll have it like a Steve Albini interview, but he doesn't know shit about Steve Albini. So it'll force the conversations in like weird other directions than like,
yeah.
So you'll get an interview that's like, doesn't talk about audio at all, which is interesting. I think talks about like where he grew up and like on a base level, it's like fine and whatever. And I find that, but I can't like when I'm driving to work, I can't like have silence, or I can't even in the shower. I listen to stuff. I have a waterproof Bluetooth speaker. Which, you know, when I move into your love nest, you
can bring that along.
I'll bring it along.
Be like, I got Sonos in the bathroom, man. We're okay. We're good here.
You sure? I mean, this is Alltech Lansing, man.
Yeah, we're good. You can keep that one in the box.
The best part is when I press
that good shit.
When I got rid of the box. When I press play, it says, "Welcome to Alltech Lansing."
Oh, Jesus.
It's really cool. Not really at all.
I just found out today that I can now just tell fucking Alexa when I want to. Oh, fuck. I woke her up.
Alexa?
I can just tell her when I want to order Seamless. And it's like, okay. And all of a sudden, Seamless shows up. So that's wild. That's good and dangerous. That'll be fun.
But what if, like, what if you're just talking and you don't remember? And you don't realize. And then suddenly someone shows up with like 30 pizzas.
That happened to somebody. I forget the specifics of it. But yeah, there was some guy in Tennessee or some shit. I don't understand how it happened, but he wound up getting like $15,000 worth of things ordered from Amazon by accident from his fucking, from his voice assistant. I think he was like watching TV and they said something that triggered it and... Yeah, some crazy shit, but yeah, really good.
I kind of love it. I want that future. Technology. It is the future. I got a Fire Stick not too long ago, and that's like...
Oh, nice. You get the one where you can talk and be like, yo, what's up?
I think
fucking...
so.
Yeah,
it's also
going
to be... We're going to jailbreak that shit, and that's going to be the real test.
I actually don't think there's a point in jailbreaking anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm over it. Like, the... Like everything involving piracy, the way you beat it is by making the legal options at least at parity and more convenient than the illegal options. And that's what happened. Like, yeah, like fucking Netflix and Hulu and fucking HBO Go and all that shit, they all cost money. I subscribe to all of them. I spend like a lot of money a month on this shit. But if the alternative is to have to log into like the Pirate Bay and then find the right torrent and sit down and make sure and like... sweat on it and move it to a folder and then make sure that my fucking NAS drive is running. Fuck you. Like, I've had it, man. I'll pay the $3 to rent the goddamn movie. I'm never going to watch it again anyway. Who cares? It's fine. It's all good. You know what I would do with $3 if I didn't rent this movie? Fucking nothing. I'd go buy a bunch of seltzer and fucking forget I drank it. It's not a big deal. All right. Well, this has been episode. What the fuck episode is this?
This is episode 156.
156. Getting there.
Getting there.
Chugging to 200.
Chugging to 200, and then what?
I don't know.
And we change our format completely.
Then, yeah, then the whole, and then everything changes.
Everything. The game changes. We move, both move to California, and we just sort of like, yo, Lindsay Lohan, let's do this. Fucking guy who is in Office Space and Band of Brothers, let's talk.
Let's chat it up. What do you got?
I think if we did the Marc Maron podcast ripoff, but interviewed celebrities on the skids, and not even on the skids, just fading a total dim stars.
Like John Lithgow, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Lithgow is here, star of stage and screen, John Lithgow. Haven't worked in like, just talked to him a lot about Harry and the Hendersons. And he's like, oh, this wasn't what I was expecting. You know, I have a new play. I'm like, yeah. Okay, well, you do Summerstock Theater. That's cool. But anyway, Harry and the Hendersons, man, like, wow. You know, and then just be like, tell them like super personal anecdotes. Like, man, when I was like, I remember my dad taking me to that movie and he like left because he thought it was so bad, but I stayed.
Yeah, my dad hit me the first time when I was watching Harry and the Hendersons.
He left me alone in the theater and like he came back and there was a guy sitting next to me and it was like, and then they ended up getting in a fight. Like a real fight right in front of everybody. Could you imagine, John Lithgow, could you imagine? Oh my God, it says here you're in War Games. What was that like? We're talking about the movies he like his most forgettable roles. I think that would be awesome.
It would be really good.
Be like just, but it's kind of like not, it's not necessarily trickery, but it's like, we'll talk to you, but it has to be about your uber forgettable, like your most forgettable roles. Like we could expand it to like, but
we are obsessed with failure.
I love it.
Like we love failure. It's wild
because it's way interesting. Like I follow the greatest Chippendale of all time, Michael Rapp, and we can talk about that later because you have to go. I just realized I did that thing where you said I have to leave or I'm going to die, and I'm like yeah. Anyway, Chippendale.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, all right. Well, we'll continue talking about Michael Rapp in 157.
Yeah, more than a photograph.
Anything you want to plug?
No, not yet. Although I am, I got very, it's a long story. I got very woke last week about my
fuck. We're going to have to do fucking 157 tomorrow or some shit.
Let's do it tomorrow.
Perfect. All right. Sick. Well, this has been 156. Everyone be cool and fucking cue the music.
All right.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There's, I don't know, I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.